You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
I've been talking about grace for several weeks. I've been thinking about grace, and now I'm even dreaming about grace because it's been so powerful for me. And the other day I was getting up and I was starting to think about my message a little bit and just rethinking through some of this stuff. And I was one of those, I'd fall asleep and then I'd wake up and I'd fall asleep sort of in that mixed land. Do they have a word for that? The mixed land. And I had this dream, and I want to share it with you. And I was standing in a courtroom, you know, behind the podium. And there's this sort of, this judge with this consternation. He's just sort of angry and big and overwhelming, and he had his black judge robe on, and I don't know why he's wearing one of those British wigs, you know, that they wear in court. He's wearing one of those things, and he was just looking at me. And then I'm sitting here, and the courthouse is just filled. And not only is it filled, it has a balcony, so I'm just surrounded all these people, and I'm standing there, and all these people are just screaming at me, and they're yelling at me. And they're accusing me, and they're calling for justice, and they're calling for retribution and penalty. And as they're screaming and yelling, and they're saying things from my past, things that I've done wrong, things that they shouldn't know about, but they're just screaming at them, and I have nothing I can do. I just was silent, because honestly, they were right. And all these accusations, and the judge looks down, and all he just slams his gavel down, and he just yells in this booming voice, guilty, guilty as charged. And the penalty is death, because death is always the penalty of sin in the law. And the courtroom bailiffs are starting to walk close to me. Of course, everybody in the room is just big and overwhelming. They're coming towards me, and as they're coming towards me, I hear this voice behind me, and it says, "Your Honor, if I may." And I looked around, and it was Jesus. And he stood up and said, "If I may, allow me to take the place for Lloyd, for I've never broken the law." And immediately as he said that, it was just this most vivid picture. All these people that were screaming at me just immediately turned and started screaming at him the same things, demanding justice, retribution, to the point it was like I was invisible, that I wasn't even there anymore. And the bailiffs that were walking towards me just passed me and they grabbed Jesus and they grabbed him hard and they began to just drag him away through the doors in the holding place. And the judge looked at me and said, "You're free to go." And at that moment, all this shame and this guilt and this condemnation that I was feeling from this crowd, in an instant, it was gone. And I was free. Free from guilt, freedom from shame, free from accusations, and free from condemnation. Because as we've been saying in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom from penalty, freedom from a religious spirit, freedom from performance. Freedom from all the uns. You know the uns? Unpleasant, unacceptable, unenlightened, unstable, unapproachable. I was free from being unattractive or undesirable, free from being unhealthy or uncertain, unsettled, uninformed, free from being unsatisfactory, from being undervalued and unloved, because it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. Would you read it with me here? Galatians 5:1, read it. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." How many glad you're free? Amen. It's very appropriate today that we make a strong proclamation today that Jesus has come to set us free from guilt and shame in condemnation, because today's topic is a very difficult topic that hurts and it wounds and it shames and it leaves carnage in its wake. Divorce has touched all of us in some way or another, And as a pastor, I always have to walk this fine line between love and forgiveness and grace, and then teaching and encouragement about life. And it's very difficult at times. So no matter what your history is with divorce, starting today, right, divorce can be in the rearview mirror. That's where I want to keep it today. And we're not looking to the pain of the past. We're not looking to revisit the past. Today, wherever you're at, I want to secure the future. And so understand, in everything I say today, this is about securing the future. My prayer is that whatever your situation, that the pain won't be stirred up again. I hope after we deal with the scriptures today, scriptures that have been used in your past to condemn you, you'll see the heart of the Father through a new filter, the filter of grace. And so we're following this conversation in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And we have a proclamation about this. It's very simple. The Sermon on the Mount was not a new set of Jesus laws. It was a contrast, a revelation of the Father's intent behind every commandment, applying a grace filter. And Jesus said in verse 17, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but I've come to fulfill them," or "I have come to completely satisfy the requirements of the law." So just like my dream, the law demands perfection, and the law demands justice, and the law demands punishment. And it's a penalty death. It's a death, but Jesus came to completely satisfy the requirements of the law. And we've been talking about Matthew 5, and Jesus said, "You've heard that it's been said, don't murder, but I say, don't even hate anybody." And it wasn't a new law. It was just a perspective saying that grace by my Father, this has nothing to do with murder. It has to do with what I think about human beings and the love that I want. And that's the end result. But hatred is where we want to park. That's what the rule was about. And it was talking about adultery and lust. And it's not about just whether or not you sleep with somebody. Check, I never done that before. I'm good to go. It's about how you view people, how you view women or men. And so we've been talking about that. And so we get to this verse here today that we're going to be in. And honestly, I wanted to skip it. I thought about it because it's Valentine's weekend. How in the world did that happen? So we're going to have some strong words with my sermon planning team. That's all I got to say about that. And number two, Jesus has some incredibly strong language that he uses. And if you don't understand the context, You can walk away with a lot of shame, but today you're going to understand the context. And number three, I didn't want to deal with it because it's my birthday. So, thank you, thank you. No, don't stop. So, today I turned 56. Yay, thank you. I expected a lot more. I'm just kidding. It's not too late. Because there are e-gift certificates you can buy online. And I'm going to, for today only, I'm going to extend the deadline. So if you get by 3 a.m. in the morning, I'll consider it not being belated, okay? But surely I jest. Today I want to look at the context behind these scriptures. Jesus is dealing with a society where men were divorcing their wives for any and every reason. And it was almost like they were trading in old cars when they served their purpose and started looking for a newer model. And the sad thing is the religious leaders of the day were the worst culprits. And they were actually using God's law to justify their actions. So it's interesting that when you speak strongly about grace, one of the pushbacks that people have is you can't speak that strong about grace because people will use and abuse grace for their own selfish desires. What's interesting here, right? Because we think, well, then the law will keep them pure and the law will keep them walking this straight line. But the law here, they use the law in the same way. They abuse the law for their own selfish desires, for thinking, well, grace isn't the way, the law is the way. You can use and abuse the law all you want to hold people down and in condemnation. And you can look at throughout history, religious leaders have done this. In the Middle Ages, they sold indulgences. In other words, if you want to sin, come to me first, pay me some money, and I'll write you off a get out of jail free card. Here you go. Your sin has already been paid for. Now go and sin some more. I don't know what they said, but you know, that's what they were doing. How corrupt is that? I mean, the Crusades. I mean, if you don't believe me, just watch some Christian TV once in a while and you'll see some evangelists on there using the law to bring guilt on you. And maybe your parents use the law to put you under conviction and try to control you for your own good. Maybe the church you grew up in try to do the same thing. And so as we read these scriptures, Jesus is not sitting like I am here today with a group of people that are all in being followers of Jesus, and he's trying to teach them, right, like you are. He's confronting and he's fighting a whole religious system that used God and God's law to give themselves spiritual permission to suppress and demoralize and abuse women. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. We're going to bounce around a little bit back and forth today, but this is a good place if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew 5. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. And Jesus is saying, you've heard that it was said, just like he'd done in the other ones. You've heard it said this because you say it all the time. You say it to each other. You say it to the culture. If you want to divorce your wife, come to us and we'll give you a certificate. Now, guess who was giving out the certificates? The religious leaders of the day. And they were writing them for each other. Come on over. All right, you won. And here you go, brother. It's a gift for you. Okay, I got one for you. Here's your certificate of divorce. So now we're both off the hook. And they're saying God has given you permission to basically throw away your wife. It was a racket. And it seemed so right because they used the words of the law and they used the words of Moses to twist them for their own purposes. And what they're talking about here, the certificate of divorce, is actually found. I'm going to go back and read it. Math is in Deuteronomy 24. I'm going to read a couple portions. So this is verse 1. If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her away from her house. So they were using this phrase, the certificate of divorce, and finding something displeasing that was indecent. And so they began to define what that meant. Well, that means this. And their definition could change according to who you are and how much money that you have. So the certificate of divorce was given, but it was regulated by the religious people. And so they were the judge. Excuse me. It was a corrupt system. And what's interesting about these verses, they were not written to give us the do's and don'ts of what qualifies a certificate of divorce. They were written for something totally different. And here it is, verse 2. And after she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man, and her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce and gives it to her and sends her from his house. Or if he dies, then the first husband who divorced her is not allowed to marry her again after she's been defiled. That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And the reason this was written was because for 400 years they were a slave nation. They didn't even know how to bathe themselves. They didn't know what food to eat. So the law was given to people just to help them understand how to be just human. And so one of the practices that they witnessed for 400 years was this brutal, disgusting practice of the Egyptians, where they were just divorcing and picking up new wives back and forth. They were basically swapping wives. And so God, teaching this new nation, said, listen, I know what you've seen for a long time. Don't do that. It had nothing to do with the certificate of divorce. It had to do with that practice. Is that practice of you just discarding people and then bringing them back whenever you wanted or needed them, that's disgusting to me. And don't do that. But the Pharisees didn't look at the intent of what he was saying. They just found a little phrase that they liked. Certificate of divorce, that sounds interesting. Let's really dive into that, see what that's all about. And so they did, to a place that when Jesus walked the earth, it had become that bad where they're just going back and forth and doing what. And so the intent, Jesus is dealing with these guys when he writes this scripture. And we need to understand that. It's not a guilt trip he's trying to put on anybody. He was trying to correct the whole religious system. He also confronts them in Matthew 19. This is how bad it was. It just came up over and over. You can see it several times in the life of Jesus where he's dealing with the same subject. So chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 1. And verse 3. Some Pharisees came to test him, and they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? That's the test they're giving to Jesus. We want to ask you a question. Is it lawful? Because that's the practice they had of that day. For any reason I want to, for every reason I want to, is it lawful for me to divorce my wife? And Jesus says this in verse 4, haven't you read, he replied, that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. You've probably heard that at a wedding somewhere. What's interesting then is now listen to this, and I want you to see the word they use. In verse 7, why then, they asked the religious leaders, did Moses, and they use the word command, that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? It got so bad that they believe that this was almost like a command to do it. It's okay to do it because Moses commanded it. And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because why? Your hearts were hard. And listen, but it was not this way from the beginning. See, this is not what God ever intended. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual morality, and the reason Jesus puts that in there is because he goes back to Deuteronomy 24, this thing that's displeasing, that's the thing. And that's the only thing. It says, except for sexual morality and marries another woman, commits adultery. And this is a very difficult thing. He's saying Moses permitted it, and God permits divorce in a few cases, but he never, ever, ever, hears me, commands it. And it was never what God intended in the beginning. And he allowed it for one reason and one reason only. Because he will never circumvent free will. And because there are some people that have hard, unrepentant hearts. And so God will never force somebody. And when they have a hard, unrepentant heart, what are you going to do about that? So he says, no, unless they're unfaithful. And even that, hear me now, is not a get out of jail free card, okay? Unfaithfulness can be forgiven and overcome. That's always option one. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, he gives the second sort of allowance, if you will. But he commands in the very beginning that we're not to divorce. He confirms that we're not to divorce. And then he goes on and says, if you have an unbelieving spouse and they want to stay with you, don't divorce them. That's not an out. But if they decide they want to leave, you can let them go. That you're not spiritually bound. But if they stay, the marriage and the family is sanctified because of you. That is, God's blessing is on the family and your children because of you. So infidelity can be forgiven, and an unbeliever can come to faith and radically change. But the only, I'm going to just put it another way, the only allowance is for a hard, unrepentant heart. And that's the problem when you have two people come together. They might not be on both there. And we've seen it, and you probably have felt it or whatever, that there's been this person that just won't allow the Holy Spirit to touch their life. And in that situation, just like God is bound, you're sort of bound. There's not a whole lot you can do. And I've seen it. I'm a child. I was a child of a divorced family, and I saw my mom believe for her marriage for over a year and a half. And she couldn't change them. And that's the way it happened. So let me be clear about one other thing, too. I would never tell anyone who lives in an abusive situation to stay. Leave immediately and get to a safe place. Leave immediately. So now I want to go, what I love about this is after Jesus is talking about this, if you're married, and he, you know, you got to... The disciples say this in verse 10. If this is a situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. If I have to make a choice that lasts forever, maybe, Jesus, I should stay single. And they were single, okay? So they didn't understand what marriage is all about and how fun it can be, number one. And number two, Jesus says this. Not everyone can accept this word about being single, but only those to whom they were anointed or given. It takes a special calling to be single, and I would say amen to that. And I would not be doing well if I was. So, and all the other men said, husbands, amen, amen. Amen. Go ahead, pass the one. Man. So, back to Matthew 5:31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. Verse 32. But I tell you, anyone that divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. There's a lot of victims in divorce. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And again, he's talking in these strong language, not because of guilt or shame. It's because he was combating a religious system that was using God and God's law to hurt and abuse and to victimize women. And so he has a strong words, you know, that to make people think that God was behind this, to think you got off the hook. It's interesting because this scripture comes right after the lust and adultery. And this is why Jesus was so strong, is because this was their loophole. Their loophole was, I'm not committing adultery. And they're combined, they're close because that's what Jesus was dealing with, their mentality. I'm lusting, right? And I'm not committing adultery. I'm just lusting. I want that woman. So my friend over here is going to write me a certificate of divorce so that I can move on to there. Therefore, I will never commit adultery. And Jesus is saying this. Don't think God is dumb. What you're doing is the same thing as adultery. You don't get off the hook because you think you can navigate and circumvent. So he's speaking specifically to them and that culture that when you think this, that I can get out of this covenant because of something somebody wrote for me and move over to this situation, that God does not see it as the same thing of you just doing it. So Jesus is confronting that. And he's speaking to these weasels and saying, you can't fool God. So he goes on to sort of give more explanation. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. And they took this scripture again and they just found one phrase. Fulfill to the Lord the vows you've made. And so in their contracts and in their dealings, they could say, well, you know what? That wasn't a vow to the Lord, and I'd like to pay you back. But honestly, I had my fingers crossed. Remember those days, right? Well, we pinky swear. No, I had my fingers crossed, or my legs crossed, or my toes were crossed, or my eyes were crossed. It doesn't count. That's what they were doing. They were using God for it. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no, and anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And I wish we could live in a world today where we didn't need contracts or oaths, but it's just impossible in this climate today. If you want to buy a house, you're going to have to sign a contract. If you go to work, you got to sign a contract. We just live that. I wish we were in a world that oaths were not needed. I wish we were in a world where marriage vows were not needed. You know, we make these vows. We're going to be faithful and better and worse, rich and poor. I wish we were living in that world, but we're not. And so Jesus' teachings here, please understand, were never meant to put anybody on a guilt trip or bring condemnation or stir up shame. He was tackling a sick religious practice of the day. And he was using very strong and very pointed language because of one and one thing only. When it comes to a covenant, a vow, an oath, they were using God's name and his law as an excuse to break their word and to divorce their wives, like God had given them permission. And Jesus is, you don't know my father. He would never do that. It's interesting, the word in the Hebrew for divorce is the same word, it's a root word that's used for severing a limb, literally cutting off a limb or, you know what I mean? And so C.S. Lewis wrote this in his book, The Great Divorce. Divorce is something like cutting up a living body as kind of a surgical operation. He's talking about churches. Some of them think the operation is so violent that it cannot be done at all. And then other churches admit it's just a desperate remedy for an extreme case. They're all agreed, though, that it is more like having both your legs cut off than it is like dissolving a business partnership or even dissolving a regiment. And if you've ever been a victim of divorce in any way, you'll agree 100% with that statement. And he also states this, the Christian idea of marriage is based on Christ's words that a man and wife are to be regarded as a single organism. For that is the words one flesh means. Like when one says that a lock and its key are one mechanism, or that a violin and a bow are one musical instrument, the inventor God of the human machine was telling us that it has two halves, the male and the female, that when they come together in pairs, they are one. Not just on a sexual level, but a totally combined level. And so Jesus comes to earth and he's introducing the new covenant of grace, which can only be found in Jesus. It can never be earned and it can never be lost. And the scripture tells us that when we come to Christ, it is just like a union of marriage. We become united in Christ. The scripture says that believers are created in Christ, that we're crucified with Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We're united with him in his resurrection. Christ is formed in our hearts and dwells in them. And here is God's will for you when it comes to his covenant. In Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That is a synopsis of the new covenant that Jesus made with you. And you're in that covenant and you're one in that covenant. And that's why Jesus was so outraged by those who would represent God by forsaking oaths. Because that's not God and that's not grace. Because grace never leaves. And grace never rejects. And grace never divorces. Grace always forgives. Grace always embraces. And the closest covenant to grace on earth is the covenant of marriage. It's the best example. And so marriage should be a covenant of grace as well. So when the most sacred representation of our covenant with God is cast aside for convenience or for lust or for selfishness, and when divorce is validated by the religious people of the day, it causes confusion in our children. It causes fear in our relationships, and it destroys trust. And it packs suitcases full of baggage for the victims that they carry everywhere, all through life, into every relationship. And they're just waiting for God or someone close to them to become disappointed and leave, because that's what they know about a covenant. So instead of trusting grace in marriage, out of fear and protection, we turn to the law. Because grace in marriage can be abused. And grace in marriage can be used. And so we have vows with stipulations. I've heard married couples say something like this, you know, if you ever, you know, that's the line, I'll divorce you. If you ever do, and there's a stipulation, right? I love you, but it's conditional upon the fact that you, whatever that is. And we use threats to control and command, and we have demands with repercussions. Does that sound familiar to you? Not trusting grace, and so we turn to the law. And grace says, I'm not going anywhere. Many of you know that I was a victim of a divorce as a child, as I said. And I was 15 years old when my stepdad left my mother and me, and he said this. God told me it's okay to divorce you because I don't love you anymore. And grace says, I'm not going anywhere. And so when I got married, I carried that bag. That was a piece of luggage he packed for me. And I got to carry that around. And when I got married in the first several of the early years, I did. I held back. I had some issues. And I used to say this, not to my wife, but to other people that were friends or whatever. You can leave. I've had better people than you leave me. And I'm really good at moving on. I mean, I'm professional at it. I've taken a great relationship and moving on. And so when we first got married and I'm sort of dealing with this stuff like that, Judy just turns to me and says, listen, I'm not going anywhere, so you better figure this out. Because I'm not leaving. Do you know what that does? That's grace. That's what turns a heart and changes a situation. And so grace says, I'm not going anywhere. Grace says, until death. And the most difficult thing, and I get it, is when one partner's heart becomes hardened and tears the marriage apart. And it's difficult when children are taught that covenants can be easily broken. And like me, I know many of you are victims of divorce, and you live in fear. And you were told it was your fault. And you were told you're no longer the person that I married years ago. You did something wrong. And children believe, if I only would have done this, maybe they would have stayed. And we have all this abandonment issues, orphaned issues that we carry around. But see, the grace covenant, grace will never leave you. And grace will never divorce you. And the law is never the answer. And so then some people live in fear of, and they hyper-perform to try to maintain acceptance. And they put these self-imposed laws and regulations and rules. And I'm just not pretty enough, or I'm not skinny enough, or I didn't perform all the chores that they expect from me. I didn't make enough money. And there's just this fear that clouds relationships and covenants. Because you saw that in your parents, what happens when one spouse disappoints the other? But grace says this, I've come to set you free from performance. For acceptance. I've come to set you free from never feeling like you're good enough. Grace releases you to walk with your heart fully given to another person and fully given to God. And so Jesus was so upset and irate, and he used strong language because religious people were getting rid of wives right and left like it was nothing. And he says, he's kind of, that's not my father. When he makes a covenant with you, he stays behind his word. And he never leaves and he never divorces. And so understanding that from that context, you can understand why Jesus said the things he said. So my prayer today is this, that you're not going to sort of live in the past and look in your rear mirror. My prayer is that we're going to secure our future. That's what I want. No matter where you're at in this sort of process that you've been in, today going forward, securing your future. And one of the things that has to happen is if there is baggage, if there are wounds, if there is mistrust or insecurity, that needs to be healed so you can trust grace. So that's my prayer for you today. And would you join me in standing? And I want to pray for you. And hopefully in this tough topic, what you've seen is grace. And how much Jesus wants to set the record straight. He wants to set it straight. That he loves you. That you're one in him. And he will never sever that relationship. So Father, we thank you for the Son, Jesus, that you gave. that we might become one in your kingdom, and one with him, and that when you look down, you are pleased. So our prayer today is that we would live with hearts fully engaged because of the depths of grace. I just feel led, I'm going to pray for the insecurity in marriages. So Father, there are people here who have insecurities because of whatever baggage they were given. And they've brought that into their marriage. And I pray right now that that would be removed, it would be healed, that they will forgive, and they'll just let that go and take a chance on grace. I'd rather trust grace than the law. So today we choose to trust grace. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.